Welcome to Online Bible Fellowship Bible Study on the Book of the Bible for this day of our studies. My name is Brother Tim, your host on today's session of Fellowship Music. We record these sessions as brethren come together for a fellowship around the world. We read chapter by chapter systematically and allow the Word of God to guide our studies. We'd like to invite you or anyone to join us. Bring your question, comments, or anything you wonder about. Nothing is too small or too big to ask. Come and join, just as you are today. You know the word said in Colossians 3:16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, with grace in your hearts to the Lord." Again in 2 Timothy 2:15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." So we study, so his word will dwell in us richly, and in all things we teach one another, divide his word correctly. So join us at www.onlinebiblefellowship.com or email ebiblefellowshipnet@gmail.com. Now, let us begin our fellowship. We will start now with an opening prayer and a few song selections as we prepare our heart to study His Word today. You are listening to Online Bible Fellowship Bible Study. Please join us as we listen to a pre-recorded session as conducted by a lead moderator. With participants from various countries, we hope you will be blessed by listening.
Everlasting Father, King of Glory, our Lord, our Father, we worship your holy name this evening. We thank you for your love upon our lives, and for the privilege of coming together again to listen to your words. We pray that, Lord, may your Holy Spirit open our hearts to understand the scriptures this evening. And by extension, Lord, everyone else that will be hearing these studies, our discussions tonight, Lord, because it is by the leadership of the Holy Spirit, their hearts will also be blessed. We pray that, Lord, we take absolute control of our technology and everything that will be used in the course of this study, that, Lord, you will take charge. We pray that, Lord, you will open our hearts and remove every form of distraction, that will concentrate and get your words as our lives will be blessed. This is our heart cry in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 We are studying Romans chapter 12. Who is with his Bible? I will encourage that we read from the King James first, then we can take other translations that are available. So who is with his King James? So you can take the reading, Romans chapter 12.
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable sacrifice. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given unto us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exalteth on exaltation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that sheweth mercy with cheerfulness. Verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good.
Okay. Can we make a little progress? Verses 3, 4, and 5. Verses 3 say the for I said, through the grace given unto me. Let me read it one. Through the grace given unto me, to every man is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Please, what do you make of verse 3? How should we look at ourselves as living sacrifice now? Remember, we are not what we used to be. So what should be our response to verse 3? How should we look at ourselves?
In one word, sir, unworthy servant. Just look at yourself as unworthy servant. Unworthy servant, knowing where you are coming from. I'm not better than anybody. It's just mercy that found me. I'm not better than someone that is swimming in drugs. It is mercy that found me. I'm not better than even the Muslim that are somewhere that are yet to even hear the gospel. I'm not better. It is mercy that found me. So, you know, when you know that it is mercy, it's not merit. It is mercy that gives you something. You know, there is a way you humble yourself. When you write exam, for example, you know that exam. I remember in 100 level, there was one exam, Introduction to Psychology, that I wrote. And I followed my mate to do all-night reading. So I went, we read all through the night. I came through the exam, my brain knocked. I couldn't write anything. And I promised I can't disgrace God in this university. So I submitted the booklet, ready to come back the following year to come and write my exams. So I went back to pray. I said, God, you didn't promise me carryover in University of Georgia. So what is this? Obviously, this is a carryover course. Then the prof did not come that day to collect the script. He left the script till the following day. The library got burnt that evening. The script burnt. And we are asked to come back and rewrite the paper again. For me, Every time I look at the result, I knew that it is mercy that gave me the result. It is mercy that decided that I will not. So I don't look down on anybody that is still in school that refused to graduate. It is not that I am the smartest student. We have one of our coursemates that if you want to get at least a B in a course, you just sit down, he will talk to you about the course. And you rest assured that you are going to get a B for the course. Yet he graduated, we left the school 4 years later before he graduated. It is not he's the most intelligent student in the class, but mercy brought us in. So I am an unworthy servant.
Okay. So thank you.
Yes, another point of view that I want us to look at is us seeing others. You know, there's a way that when you are being selected in a particular group, you tend to see yourself being qualified. Mm. And then see those other set of people not qualified. Now, I'm connecting with what the other speaker says. Okay, there are times that we tend to see ourselves is because of this or because of that. And that we make the other people look down on themselves. There are times that instead of all them to admire us, they look down on themselves, which makes them not to be able to mingle with us because they feel like it's because we did something special that actually helped us to do whatever that we are, where we are at that time. You know, there's this set of people that when they are carrying first in the class, those who are carrying last, you see them, they cannot voice out. They cannot say anything. Now, there are Christians that actually live that kind of life. Yes, knowing fully that I am saved by grace, still yet I intimidate others. So I'm bringing out that particular point. Yes, we all know that it's by grace, but still, yes, we do intimidate others. Like those that are smoking, those that are into prostitution and other, we make them feel as if we are better than them. So I think, hello? So I'm thinking, after knowing fully, then we should talk to ourselves in relating to those that are not yet in the sheepfold, that they can be comfortable to come closer. Because many of us actually know it, but how to relate to those that are not there sometimes is intimidating, which push them away. And when you meet with people that are smoking, these are words that come out of their mind and their mouth. They say that they don't feel belonging. They don't feel themselves belonging to that society. They feel like they are trashed, you see? So there's this gap between the church and the unbeliever like that. Yes, the gap should be there, but let it be attractive, not intimidating. Amen.
Thank you for the privilege to share this gospel message. If you would like to contribute and participate in our recorded fellowship session in your area, please email ebiblefellowshipnet@gmail.com. Give your name, where you reside, and request to participate in a live fellowship. That is email ebiblefellowshipnet@gmail.com. All one word. We will be glad to send you a meeting to join the next available recording session in your area. Thank you for listening. And may God bless you.
And we'll look at 3-8. I just want us to look at it from this perspective. What are the best way we should use or manage the gifts of God upon our lives? The gifts of God upon our life. What are the best way we should manage it according to verses 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8.
Managing the gift, I'm looking at it from two perspectives.
Okay.
The number one perspective that I'm looking at it, I'm looking at a teamwork that not because I am the pastor preaching, then I look down on the cleaner in the bathroom. Not because I am big man of God there, then I look down on the usher. So I know that everyone's gift has his place in the church. So mm-hmm. I should look at it as a teamwork. For me to succeed wherever I am, my brother need to function. I was asking my teen, okay, we're asking the teenagers, was it last week or yesterday during their own study? I said, which part of the body is the most neglected part? And they said the anus. I said, what happened when the anus goes on strike? For 3 days, refused to move. You know you are in trouble. So when I learned to look at that aspect in the body of Christ, that we are all members of his body, but we are not all having the same function. And the second aspect that I'm looking at, the gift. In fact, I was telling some people this morning in the discipleship class, I said, me, I know that I am cut out for the body of Christ. I'm not cut out for my denomination. Wherever the body of Christ is, that is where I'm cut out for. So I need to look at my gift as a trust that God has given me, that I'm going to give account of this trust. And I must do it within the proportion of the ability that he has given me. I need to serve him within my capacity. And I think the biggest question is, what is your gift? Which one is your gift? So that you cannot be struggling where you should not be struggling. When you discover which one, and you'll be able to stick there. Thank you, sir.
I find myself imagining a lot of things. I find myself imagining that the whole world having just one name of church. And I believe that to every church, the complete gifting of the Spirit is there. Now, imagine the whole world having just one name of church with all of the diverse ideas. Now, there are churches that believe that Christ do miracles, right? And they are not really using any magic power. They are genuinely from now, because the scripture has captured that there are gifts of miracles. So if they that have those gifting of miracle, then let's say that is no longer another church, is this one church that is of Christ, not having another title, but having this one body of Christ. Now miracle is there, it's one of the gifts, right? So all believers will get healing through these members that have this gifting of miracle. Now there are churches that strongly believe in prophecy. Now prophecy, sometimes we limit it to soothsayer, but prophecy is beyond soothsayer. Interpreting of the word is still a prophetic gift. So I'm seeing if it happens that all of this gifting happens to be in one body and we are all operating in that body, that gifting, then I think the body of Christ will be so healthy, because the healing will take place, the word will be sound, the miracles will take place, and then the will of God will be done on earth. But because of these different names that we are having, there are set of church that, truly speaking, the miraculous gift is a silent gift. They are not functioning. So when they see other church functioning in that miracle, they give it a name and a title. When they see it functioning in that prophetic, sometimes when I see believers fighting themselves, it makes to wonder, does it mean that God no longer perform miracle? Does it mean that God cannot heal anymore? Does it mean that God cannot show me things, as the scripture says in the book of John, that the Holy Spirit is going to come to reveal things that are yet to take place to me? So sometimes it begins to wonder me. So you talk about managing. When we are managing, we use the resources that we have. So as a church, God has a complete gift. But even in the church, whereby all of the gifting are, some of the gifting are being oppressed. They can't function in that gifting. Why? Because they will call them name. So for that, they silence. So now you see, we are not using that gifting to its maximum. The other brother talk about us. No gift is greater than any gift. Now it's us using that gift to the glory of God. It's given for the education. It's given to rebuke and correct. But we are not using it. Amen. So at my own angle, if you are managing resource, then you use it to its potential. Amen.
Can we just briefly do like explain what are all these gifts? Can we give practical example what these gifts are? Can we just do a little practical example, as they are mentioned in verse 6, 7, and 8? please, if you can hear me, just assist us.
I think the first one that was mentioned is the gift of prophecy. And in prophecy, you hear God about the people and declare it to the people. And that is usually a gift, that God speaks to you about a person and you prophesy to the person, here, this is what the word of the Lord is saying. And the second one is faith. I think faith has been one of, if we said we are looking for thematic area for our study from Romans chapter 1 to this point, is actually thematic word is actually the faith. We all agree that we come to Christianity through faith. But the faith that he's talking about here is not just the faith of believing what Jesus Christ has done for you on the cross of Calvary.
That is, it's not saving faith.
Yeah, yes, thank you, sir. This is not the saving faith. Yes, it's not the saving faith. It's a faith that we look through the darkest night and just believe that God will change the situation and believe that God will do something where everybody has given up. So I think that is the second one. Can I stop here? Maybe I will allow others to add their voice.
We are trying to throw more light on the gifts that were mentioned here. Yes.
There is the gift of serving, gift of service. This one has to do with maybe ushering, how to serve people, how to organize people. It says serve them well. If you are a teacher, oh, this is my own. If you are a teacher, do a good job of teaching. We have teachers, Sunday school teachers, Bible teachers, school teachers. If you're a teacher, so do a good job of teaching. I think the job for a teacher here is actually to teach the word of God, to teach the biology, to teach whatever you are giving. And the next one said, if you are a preacher, yes. So preacher is even a gift. Wow. Say,
which version are you using?
Living Bible.
Because you don't have preacher in King James.
Okay.
Encourager.
Exactly.
Okay, the Living Bible said, preacher, see to it that your sermon are strong and helpful. Yes.
Okay, that's the Living Bible.
The second one says, if God has given you money, be generous in helping others with it. If God has given you administrative ability and put you in charge of the work of others, take the responsibility seriously.
Okay.
And I think the last one said, those who offer comfort to the sorrowing should do so with Christian cheer. I think the Living Bible actually explains it more vividly for us.
Do we know our gift? Like, how do we confirm our gifts?
Okay. Very crucial, important question. How can one know what his or her gifts are? That's our question. Please, can somebody assist us? Go ahead.
It's actually a question that several of us struggle with, and coming from our background, we did not have people that will actually guide and teach us on how to understand and discover your gifting. But one of the approach that we took, number one, honestly, sincerely, we pray to God and ask him, what is the deposit in us? And gradually, he guided us towards. For me now, as a teacher, I grew up, I never liked that thing called teaching, especially teaching children. I hate noise. They can be very nuisance. They are nuisance to me. But gradually, as I asked him, and he kept guiding, opening my eyes to see one step upon another, it's actually taking daily walk with Jesus asking him daily, my consistent prayer, asking him, what is it that you have fashioned me for? Where do you want me to function as well? And he guided me to the path of teaching. I can tell you categorically, I hear one voice in the morning that says, thou, you are a teacher, you are carved to become a teacher. But gradually, through the study of the Word of God and prayer, he guided what I hate. Now is what I love beyond anything else. I love being with the kid. I love teaching because I know that is what I am caught up for. So that is actually my own practical way that I was able to discover my area of gift calling.
Yes, that is the number one. You must prayerfully ask God. Prayerfully. Then, just like he has said, number two, you will notice in the place of that prayer, you will begin to have developed passion in a particular area of ministry. You know, there is this book by Rick Warren, Purpose Driven Life. He called it SHAPE. That is the acronym. You know, the way God have put you together is the way he wants you to serve. Just like the gift of encouragement, it's not everybody that can talk that way. The gift of faith, there are some persons that everybody will give up, but they will not give up. You know, so as you come closer to God, the giftedness of God works in line with the way God has made you.
Father, we bless you for your grace upon our lives. We thank you for the privilege to learn under your feet through your word. We thank you for the understanding. We pray the Lord, as we close for today, we pray the Lord, your grace will be upon us. You will minister grace to us as we rest, and you will help us to meditate on your word so that we will live to glorify you. Bless us together as a family and help us to impact more in the life of others. For we pray and ask this all in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
You have been listening to Online Bible Fellowship Bible Study with participants from various countries. We hope you have been blessed by listening today, and join us next time as we fellowship in another session of Online Bible Study Fellowship.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to Online Bible Fellowship today. Please help us spread and present this message of God's saving grace to others. Send any donation as you are led to give to the United Christian Health Foundation to this account, Zenith Bank, 12-26-243888. I take that again. Zenith Bank, 12-26-243888. May God richly bless you as you give, and do not forget to join us again next time on this radio station. Till we meet again next week, may God richly bless you.